Movie news.
Yes!
Rumors and rumbling.
That's awesome!
Let the filibustering begin.
Hey, what's up and howdy, Bam Fam. Hope you're having a great fall. Hope you're doing safe and well out there. It's time for another Mam Movie News Rumors Rumblings Roundup. It's just some of my favorite episodes that we do here, along with our throwbacks. I can actually take or leave the new release movies these days. It seems like the average, I don't know, this year's actually been pretty good. But
it's a good year, yeah.
The hit rate is not great usually with the new releases, but we're able to vet the movie news topics and the throwback episodes. So maybe that's why I like it. So we've got a lot to talk about on this edition.
We do.
We've got a big weekly recommends coming for you at the end of the episode. We got some trailer talk, a movie announcement. But first, we were already in Oscar season last week. I officially cut the red ribbon for that.
Right.
It happens in Hollywood every
year. The industry
year.
waits for you.
Yeah, they gather around big speakers at the Hollywood Bowl, and they just play the episode where I announce it's Oscar season.
We send up the smoke.
It has begun.
And so Variety has apparently listened to that episode, and they've released their already Oscar favorites. So I thought this would be fun to go over. Not only do they have the winners here, but they have the nominees for almost every category. Now, granted, we are at the beginning of November, if you're listening to this episode later on. So most of these movies have not come out, actually. A lot of the big ones have not. So, having said that, let's go over a few of these. First, any big predictions before I go over the list?
Less a prediction and more just, I'm curious as to how many of, or how high up the board Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Killers of the Flower Moon are on several of these categories. It'd be interesting because this year, look, this is what Hollywood always does. I tried to get real grammatical there for a minute. The last 6 weeks of the year, it's like, oh, by the way, there's, I don't know, 700 movies out. You got to see them all. Like, they're all important, obviously.
Yeah.
We crammed them in so tight into this 6 week period. You'll never be able to get to it, but that's what we're going to do. This year, it feels even more so like that. Like, when we were talking about doing this episode, I was like, oh, we can pull up, we can do a movie draft update real fast. And I was like, no, we can't, because there's only been one movie that's come out that any of us have on our board. So this year more than ever, and it would be kind of interesting to see if a year after the movie that won Best Picture came out in March, I believe, or maybe early April, can't remember where Everything Everywhere was last year, but very early in the year, if then the award circuit was kind of dominated by a couple of movies that came out in July and another one that came out before Oscar season really kicked off. That'd be kind of an interesting.
Would
we see some shift if that kind of thing?
Yeah, multiple years in a row, not an exception.
Yeah,
that would be nice. It would be cool to have good movies sprinkled out throughout the year instead of just roller coasters and IP gasms.
Right,
and then yeah, like you said, and then in 3 weeks, the stuff we actually like making. Enjoy. Also, it's the holidays and you're really busy.
Yeah. You have Friendsgiving. You have Thanksgiving.
Also, it's only going to be out in like four cities.
Yeah.
Hope you live in Minneapolis.
But we're going to be spamming all of your feeds with coverage of these. Right. But you're not going to be able to see them.
We picked a new fifth city this year, but unfortunately, it's Tucson, Arizona. So
good luck. U of A freaks.
Hollywood, they should do that though. Like the Olympics, they should announce a new city every year. Yeah.
Taylor Swift should have done that with the Eras Tour film. Yeah, like it's only showing in.
And now.
Albuquerque,
Chattanooga, Tennessee. Like,
You can't have international flights to service it. Like it's got to be like mid tier tops.
Right. Yeah. Cool.
Only regional airports. Yeah.
Right.
I know a lot of things get rebooted these days, but Rat Race might be really high on the list of things that could use a good reboot. Great idea for a movie. Just bring back Lovitz. That's all I require.
Hello. Right. Jealous?
So we'll go over this list here. I'll start down at the smaller categories and we'll work our way to the big ones. The best original song nominees are interesting this year, believe it or not. We've got another Jon Batiste joint. Also coming soon is Trolls Band Together featuring NSYNC / Justin Timberlake. Have you noticed that? How the new NSYNC stuff is all NSYNC and Justin Timberlake?
He's got to make sure he's
come
separate.
Come on, bro.
Mm-hmm. He's a man of the woods,
take
man.
One, take one
go
for
off
the,
in his woods.
So that song, Better Place, is not nominated according to them. And the other ones that interested me were first, Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For from Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Great song.
Not the Dua Lipa song, which I thought might have a chance. Total banger. And of course, it would not be an Academy Awards season without a Diane Warren joint.
Gosh.
Folks, can you guess or remember, perhaps, which movie the Diane Warren song came from in 2023?
I have no idea.
What no was idea. That? Was there a new Herzog?
New Michael Bay?
Yeah.
No, I don't. You're not going to guess, Brian. You've seen this movie, I know for sure, but you're not going to guess even if you've seen it. You don't remember the song The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, Brian?
Oh my gosh. I had no idea that was a Diane Warren joint.
Listen
that
to...
That movie's awful. Oof.
That movie will come up again on our list episode in a few months.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it, but I just would love to see the pitch. Hey, Diane. It's a search.
You like Cheetos? No, yeah, love Flamin' Hot.
You heard of
Flamin'
Hot Cheetos? Like, wow. No, I haven't.
Here's a story we made.
You know,
up.
They have them at 7-Eleven. I've never been in a 7-Eleven. Okay.
Check out.
Well, do you want this paycheck or?
Based on a not true story,
right?
Flamin' Hot.
The fire inside it burns. I've never even heard it, but I guarantee you it goes something like that. But they have. What Was I Made For winning Billie Eilish.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Good song.
What about that Rodrigo Hunger Games song? Is that in the mix?
I don't know.
I haven't heard it. I just saw
he
it
died. Sugar Man? Yeah. Too soon.
Yeah, sorry. I've just found out. It was breaking news.
Original score, give another one to Ludwig for Oppenheimer. That's what they're predicting.
Yeah.
Even though the Robbie Robertson does get a nom for Killers of the Flower Moon, which we enjoyed.
The killer I could see maybe, because I like Trent too. If that killer score is good, if the killer score is killer.
Or their Ninja Turtle score.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Let's
get that in there. Visual effects, they have Oppenheimer taking that one.
Okay.
Ahead of the likes of The Creator, Guardians 3, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, and Across the Spider-Verse, I guess, can be nominated for visual effects, even though it's maybe because it's got some
that seems
live weird. Action. Well, I don't know why that is, but they have it there. Sound, Oppenheimer, again.
Yeah, that's
so predictions
are...
That's the lock of
right on, Brian.
Right.
Yeah, you can't gamble
on
that.
Is it perfect sound mix? Yeah.
They also have... Ferrari nominated here. I'm interested to hear that sound mix.
Mm-hmm.
Car movies are always
great. Brian, you speak Italian?
Yeah.
In the sound department. Awesome trailer.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
You haven't seen the trailer?
I'm sure I'll catch it over the next week or two.
Oh,
I don't seek out trailers anymore. It's just if a Star Wars movie comes out, I'll do that. But otherwise, I just kind of wait for it to happen in theaters.
It didn't show it in Killers of the Flower Moon for you. Interesting.
Yeah, we may have gotten late. I don't remember. Mm. That was 14 years ago, you know, when I walked into that theater. So,
For some reason, I still will show up knowing there's going to be trailers. I'll show up 10 minutes late, and I still get like 30 minutes of trailers. I don't know why. I meant to show up 45 minutes after to know I'm going to only see the movie.
Yeah, there were some trailers that weren't doing, or excuse me, some theaters that weren't doing trailers before Killers, or were only doing, you know, one or two because of how long the movie is.
Ah.
So I didn't want to risk that. And instead, we got a full 25 minutes. So it was
cool.
Feel free to cut that down, guys. That would be acceptable if the movie's over 2.5 hours long.
We have YouTube.
Right.
Appreciate it, but when you just get to the movie I paid to see, that'd be awesome.
That's very true. Well, a lot of people, believe it or not, and I feel this energy going to the movies every week for 10 years. You definitely feel different energy, and when trailers come on, it's amazing when you sense how so many people are seeing some of these for the first time that have been out for six months. You can just tell by the reaction, like, oh my God, what?
I know. I was, like, what's that crappy looking, Ryan Reynolds, the stunt guy movie, The Fall Guy, that has like a 14 minute trailer that was playing during sports yesterday. I can't wait to roll into a movie in February and have people be like, what? It's like, oh, you don't watch the NFL.
Yeah, that one's always a litmus test with Lindsay. It's like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Frequently, she'll be like, I haven't even heard one thing about this movie. And I'm like, it's been on every single commercial break for every basketball game I've watched for the last 3 months, you know. But they're clearly targeting me, not her. So,
sure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes ads just, people don't ingest them. Like, they just, like, their brain turns off when ads come on, and they just, for some reason, aren't able to remember or recall things. Yeah. I'm jealous of those people.
I'm totally like that. Whopper, 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 whopper.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But Lindsay doesn't watch anything that's live TV. I don't know what ads she would see, you know? It's like, she's maybe during Big Brother or something. That's about it. She doesn't watch sports, so she doesn't see whatever.
I think my parents are like that. And if they're listening, I don't mind saying this. They'll watch so many movies that they have own access to on TV all the time.
That's one of my
stopping down for
never do that. Never.
I'm gonna watch one time. An extra hour of ads just because I've scrolled past this when it takes literally 7 seconds to scroll to another app and watch it without ads in better quality, all that kind of stuff.
If it's a comedy I love, like Step Brothers or something, I might flip to that for up to one commercial break just to see whatever bit is currently on the screen, you know, right at that second. But that's it. I got to give
it only if it's a movie that I don't have access to while I do that. If I
which
can
is
stream it somewhere, it's none of them now. So, all right. The favorite for film editing is also Oppenheimer.
I feel like I might be a tiny bit disappointed, and we'll see how the rest of the year goes, obviously, but I want to see Oppenheimer get something that's a non-technical award at the end of this. Like, I think that movie is so great. I think I'll be a little disappointed if it doesn't get, I don't know, actor or screenplay or something like that. Something in the big eight.
That is true. We are in technical awards. And maybe the studio got wind of this article, and they are re-releasing Oppenheimer to theaters here in a couple weeks, I believe.
Nice.
It gets another IMAX run for those that didn't catch the big format the first time, so that's cool. I might check that out with the family, who a lot didn't get to see it. It was a pretty busy time. Costume design, Poor Things. Oppenheimer also nominated there, as well as Barbie. I think Barbie would have a pretty big shot at costume design. Oppenheimer for cinematography as well is the favorite. Production design, Poor Things. Mm. Brian's most anticipated.
I'm actually vaguely interested in this one. I'm sure within 3 minutes it'll do something where I'm like, nope, I was wrong. I'm not going to enjoy this. But looks like kind of a funny trailer. I don't know. Maybe.
Is it not the plot of Barbie? Am I the only one getting that from...
Maybe. Barbie plus young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think Yorgos actually is really funny. It's everything else that kind of makes me crazy.
I wish we've talked about this. I wish he'd go funny more.
Yeah. Yeah. If he wins super into funny. The comedy, I think that funny. Could be an interesting, it could be a fun time.
Then we have animated feature. It's going to be a very competitive one this year with a new Studio Ghibli film coming out. Pixar, of course, Netflix is going to throw their hat in the ring too. And I mean, the trolls are going to band together in 2023, dadgummit. But the favorite is Across the Spider-Verse, of course.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah,
it's got to be. Even though Elemental, I did watch it. Really strong. Yeah, don't good. Know why. Don't know why more people didn't go see it.
It caught on eventually.
It did. Caught on very low key.
It ended up making decent money.
I feel like that one's going to kill it on streaming or digital. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was like third of the box office for like 40 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just kept trucking along.
Yeah. Just day caring it up.
Adapted screenplay. Barbie actually isn't adapted here based on the toys. So I guess it has to be, interesting. It's based on a intellectual property of any kind. It has to be an adapt. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's why Battleship was nominated for adapted screenplay.
And won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And won, yeah. And Best Picture.
Best Actress, Rihanna. The favorite here is Poor Things. Okay. And Barbie actually are a tie for a favorite.
Interesting. Okay. What else is on that list? Just a couple more. For
American Fiction, then Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay. Killers, I'm surprised Killers isn't, I mean, obviously I haven't seen Poor Things, but I'm surprised Killers isn't higher up that list.
Might be a theme. Original screenplay, The Holdovers is the favorite.
Oh man, that's getting good buzz.
It is getting good buzz.
That's a return to form, hopefully, for Nebraska's own Alexander Payne.
Exactly, and the duo of Payne and Giamatti seems to work. So maybe he's figured that out. Let's just do this.
Right. Can't also, do a smell-o-vision screening, though.
Thank God.
Right.
Thank God. The other favorites here.
He's like such a great guy. Just really, I don't know, something about it. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
May, December on Netflix. I think is Will Ferrell in this one? Natalie Portman? Something like that. Maestro.
It's Natalie Portman. It's the Natalie Portman joint.
And Past Lives.
Maestro.
Maestro, you say?
Maestro.
Okay, I was like,
Maestro. I think Maestro's a sneaky player.
Maestro Circus, the movie.
Because all the like nerdy, like Spielberg-y types that have seen Maestro are freaking out about it. And those people tend to run the Academy. So I feel like if you're looking for value, I don't think it's a favorite in any of these, I'm not saying it, but if you're like betting value of a movie that could just be like higher odds and then all of a sudden be in contention for a lot of these, that's one to look at.
Should play well on screeners too, which is, you know, big factor on this. I guess less of a factor these days than it used to be, but still, since everything is streaming, but yeah.
Right. I don't know. I know. But honestly though, Brian, not to counter you, but it might be more of a theatrical movie though, just because of the loudness of the music.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited for that.
Me too.
We need to have a yearly composer movie. How about that? Let's make that a thing. I'm good with
it. Did you guys see that clip from Tar?
Yes.
Last year that's like, time is mine. I control the time and I do the time.
Talking about daylight savings.
Yeah.
Time starts when I do. Yeah. That was great. Okay, Tar, now we're getting into the
big. It's not as good as I Think You Should Leave, but definitely in the style of I Think You Should Leave, really oversteps its value in terms of memeability.
Tar? Yes.
Yeah. You wouldn't think Tar would be a big meme movie, but that they're still doing Tar memes. Like,
yeah,
for the three people that saw it.
I liked
but that's my point though, right? It's like, doesn't seem like that kind of movie at all. And it's just like, for some reason, just lends itself very much to that forum. It's hilarious.
There's got to be a scene in Tar that corresponds to 55 Burgers, 55.
That's got to be one of the lowest odds in terms of like, if you were going to tell me this is going to be the biggest meme movie for the next 2 years, no one would know.
Yeah, my favorites so far
have been Avatar, which just her and an Avatar mixed, and also Young Tar, the Young Sheldon version. Young Tar is,
it's great. Just like, who would have thought? Like, I'm still laughing at Tar memes 14 months after it came out. It's great.
Who would have ever thought? And if gambling was legal in our state, I would bet on stupid things like that, like the most weird movie prop bet sites. You know, I would not be on online poker. I'd be doing just weird Oscar odds. I might do pretty well. All right, we're getting into the big categories now here. Best actress in a supporting role for 2023. The favorite, Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers. The nominees, Rosamund Pike for Saltburn.
Good to have her back.
Yeah.
Always. Remember she gave the best performance of 2013 and then we never saw her again until that Amazon show that sucked? That was weird.
The Claire Foy syndrome.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore for May, December. This movie mentioned. Mm-hmm. America Ferrera for Barbie.
Okay.
She had the Oscar speech. And then Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, nice.
But we have The Holdovers winning, so that must be strong performance.
Pumped.
I would have thought Emily Blunt would be the favorite there. Actor in a supporting role. Good list of nominees here. Dominic Sessa from The Holdovers. Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. De Niro, Killers. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. And the Gauze for Barbie.
Heck yeah, let's go.
And they have the favorite as the Gauze.
Let's go. Wow. Gauze RDJ is going to be a fun.
I was going to say, I would probably give it to RDJ in terms of what I think will win, but I don't know. Things are different than they used to be. 10 years ago, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But we'll see.
People love Gauze. Hollywood loves Gauze.
They do.
They do. How can you not?
In any capacity.
So will Downey, though, to his credit, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a 5% chance, though, that you're going to catch Downey on a night when he's just feeling like real weird and
his speech is
super odd.
It can go way too long.
Gosling's going to crush them all. If he gets 10 speeches, they're going to be 10 real good ones. Yeah.
I don't believe he has an Oscar yet. I know movies he has been involved in do, but.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the funniest the Joaquin thing for him. Phoenix thing. That's be the thing. Yeah, Barbie is going to get him an Academy Award. He's done all these Denny movies and Chazelle. Gosh, Hollywood, man. So funny. Okay, best actress. This is also a really strong category. Emma Stone for Poor Things. Carey Mulligan for Maestro. Remember Carey Mulligan, too, from 2013?
Yeah.
Margot Robbie.
Promising Young Woman. She was so good in that.
She was good.
She's still hanging around. Yeah.
Margot Robbie for Barbie.
Yeah.
Ingenue Ellis Taylor for Origin. And Lily Gladstone for Killers.
Oh, man.
And who do you think the favorite is?
I would lean Gladstone, but I mean, I've only seen two of those movies, but both of them feature incredible leads. So, yeah, I would go Gladstone probably.
Richard?
That's tough. I'd probably go Gladstone as well.
You're correct. She's the favorite. She was excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. So far, Ridley completely shut out. No Napoleon.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Best actor. Tease for best actor there. Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, Giamatti, Holdovers. Colman Domingo for Rustin. It says Netflix. And Bradley Cooper for Maestro.
Man,
who do you think's the favorite?
And Joaquin out. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a stacked category. No Leo. Man. Still haven't seen several of these movies. I walked out of Oppenheimer feeling like, kind of what I said earlier, that movie's going to win so many technical awards, and I think the best part of it is the performance of the lead. So he'd be getting my vote right now, but haven't seen Rustin or Maestro or several of the others. So
yeah, the favorite is Bradley Cooper for Maestro.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some of the stills here. The old makeup looks pretty good. I don't know if they can nail that, and maybe this will be awesome. I saw it was also nominated here. We didn't talk about it, but for makeup, it was the lead winner or favorite for makeup and hair styling. So maybe that's That's why. All right, two more here. Best director. We've got Cord Jefferson, American Fiction, Chris Nolan, Oppenheimer, Scorsese, Killers, Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest,
what?
A24 movie, and Greta Gerwig for Barbie. Who do you think the favorite is?
No one for me.
Yeah, I'll take no one.
You're correct.
Okay. I'd be happy with that. I mean, Greta, those two movies are just both so stinking good. That's an interesting list. American Fiction, they're expecting to be really, really good, sounds like. So that's great. I'm excited about that. Love Jeffrey Wright. So this should be a good time. Absolutely. But yeah, you're right, Ken. I didn't even think about it. There's been no Napoleon so far. That's interesting. There's probably a couple other movies I'm forgetting.
That. Ninja Turtles, really? You're not going to nominate it for Best Animated Movie? Come on.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't like that. But
this isn't real, the real nominations. We're like outraged at this article.
Oh, no. There's not much Ferrari in there either, which is, I think, a little surprising as well.
Yeah, there's a few. All right, last category here, Best Picture. I'll go in alphabetical order. American Fiction, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, May, December, Oppenheimer, Origin, which is the Ava DuVernay neon movie, Past Lives, and Poor Things. What do you think the favorite is?
Just based on the sheer number of nominations, I would probably say Oppenheimer.
You are correct. Wow. Can you imagine if in March of 2024, we're still talking Op? Be awesome.
I don't think, can we push that more? Can we get a June Oscars?
Yeah, next August.
You know? Yeah, why not?
Push it into next Oscar season.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe this Oscars can't happen until Barbie 2 comes out, you know? Some interesting movies that aren't in that consideration at all, really. Like, obviously we mentioned Napoleon, but Priscilla came out this weekend, got pretty good reviews, and I think people really like the Nick Cage movie, Dream Scenario. Killer felt like one that was going to be less of a Oscar contender than you might usually expect from Fincher, but still, like, just nothing there. That's interesting.
And they haven't screened Aquaman 2 for critics yet. Sure. So
right. Have they seen The Marsh King's Daughter? I feel like that probably would affect things later on. Mm-hmm.
I imagine Variety has seen almost everything that's about to come out, with very few exceptions. So, yeah, I don't know what to think of this, but it is interesting that Oppenheimer not only is the favorite in a lot of categories, but is like sweeping this year's Oscars, according to industry insiders. So, be awesome to see that for Nolan, basically almost a year later, getting awarded for Oppenheimer would be great. And those, Barbie and Oppenheimer, were the movies of the summer, movies of the year, buzz-wise. So it would feel disingenuous if not one of them comes out on top. Mm-hmm. All right, a few more things we want to hit here before Weekly Recommends. Did you guys see the trailer for Castle of the Rise of the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes? Mm-hmm.
Did, man. I can't wait for this. I love this series. I love it. I'm glad that they're bringing this thing back. I think it's going to be, could be a fun time.
Same. Trailer was cool. Little teaser trailer, 90 seconds. Richard, did you see it?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Here's my question for you guys about this and what I've been debating, because I agree. I love the trilogy that they did. Matt Reeves did a great job with that. How much did that series and do other Planet of the Apes movies rely on like humans being heavily involved? Because eventually this is going to be just apes all the time, right? Because it becomes a planet of the apes.
Right.
So, I mean, I really liked those performances in the first movies, how they were kind of anchored on that. So, will this have humans? To what capacity will they be in? To what capacity will the future movies be in? I love this world. I'm just worried if we get too much apes all the time, I'm not going to like it. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts there?
You know, the last one, War for the Planet of the... Excuse me, Rise of the Dawn of the War for the Planet of the Apes, was very ape-heavy. There was not... You know, there was long stretches of that movie that were no human dialogue and a lot of ape sign language and subtitles and stuff. And then, like, these stretches that were just war, you know, just fighting stuff. So... I get what you're saying. I think they can keep going with this for a bit. There's a, obviously there's a limit to the number of movies that you can do in this world. I mean the Heston ones in the 60s or whatever was, I don't know, six or seven of them, I think. And those were very cheesy. But yeah, I think you don't want to pump one of these out every year or every other year, but it's been, when did the last one come out? 2017, I think. So you know, that's a good, it's a good break between them. So you can do another couple of movies here over the next 5 years and you'll be all right, I think.
Man, had he not been like fully canceled, how great would it work for the story to bring back Franco for these? I think it would have been, it would have been an awesome, you know, mm-hmm.
We'll
do Dave
Franco and just CGI his face, maybe.
Oh, that. Good point. Maybe they can deep fake it. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm really excited about this coming soon. Didn't know it was that close, and there it is, the trailer. What are you more excited for, though, Brian? Kingdom of the Planet of the Dawn of the Apes or Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Cinematic Universe?
I just... That guy... I'm kind of in awe, honestly, of what a con man he is and how he just keeps getting away with it.
He literally, have you gone to SnyderCon?
Just there's so many. I genuinely, at least on the air, off the air, you know, we talk crap about everybody, including each other, but I genuinely try to be like, yeah, you know, it's not for me, but you know, whatever. As much as I can, at least when it comes to like fandom and stuff, like what you like, all that stuff. I don't understand how people keep falling for this. And there might be some cool stuff in this movie, this series. I'm sure there'll be some cool visuals. I can't handle how much fig jam he is and like what he embodies on a daily basis. I can't do it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. There's like 14 movies in this series. Gonna make a director's cut out of this.
Already announcing movie. The director's cut before it comes out.
Freaking functional movie that's 2 hours long. Just try that first. Just try that one time, and then we can do more of these director. I can't handle it, man. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, you're probably confused because Army of the Dead in Rebel Moon. You're like, there's a lot of cinematic universes. Well, don't worry, Brian. He's clarified that it's the same universe.
Oh, cool. Love that. I
thank God. I almost just watched a movie without knowing what universe it's in.
So. Yeah, I know. Exactly.
And reading the graphic novels and the anime that's going to come out that's black and white. And I don't want to. What was the David Ayer orc movie?
Bright.
Yeah, okay, I'm wrong, and I'll be like, man, this movie really surprised me and I'm an idiot and this was awesome. Seems like it's Bright to me, just from the visuals.
It's his Star Wars is what you're saying? Stuff.
Yeah, it's his Star Wars, the way he's talking about it. Yeah, it has big David Ayer, Max Landis vibes for me. So...
I mean, that's literally how he's promoting it. That's his Star Wars. So,
that's my Tinder bio sentence.
Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon is your Star Wars?
No, big Max Landis vibes. That's kind of how I like to lean in.
Oh, great.
Just want to let everyone know where right up front the kind of problematic
stuff. Then I can't be judged for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're open and honest about it up front, then
exactly.
Something you can do.
That's right. Galaxy brain.
only God can judge you, you know? So yeah, I'm not excited. Be good. That's fine. If it's good, it's good. I'll be thrilled. I don't like the Snyder machine. It's not a fan. I'm sure somebody will tell me to go kill myself now. So that's fine. I can handle it.
Some more background on the Snyder Cut situation has come out since that all went down. Did you hear that there was, my perspective on it the whole time, like going back to, do you see even the rumors, like there is no Snyder Cut. It doesn't exist. It's basically an internet thing that he made up to get people riled up. And I really believed that up until it came out and everyone was saying, oh yeah, it did exist. Well, it turns out I was right. It did not exist. He stole the hard drives from the studio and went to his house like during the pandemic and edited it himself. And then was like, oh yeah, by the way, there's a Snyder Cut. And so he might get sued by the studio for basically taking their property off the premises to do this whole situation. Yeah, they made money on it, but like he did not go about it in the right way at all, which is surprising for him. I mean, he usually goes about it in the right ways.
Right.
So
just what a con, guys. That's all I'm saying. Just
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. I think that's enough movie news, rumors, rumblings, roundup for 1 week. When they stack up again, we will discuss them here, as always. Before we get out of here, though, let's hit a weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
What you got for us, Brian?
Recommend a podcast, unless one of y'all recommended this last week. I don't think you did, but I've forgotten if you have.
Unless it's Bill Maher's pod, no, we did not recommend it.
Oh, okay. Well, he had Neil deGrasse Tyson on, and let me tell you.
A Sunday tradition.
Set a record for the most number of times someone said, well, actually, in a one-hour conversation.
My favorite Sunday tradition is just blasting those over to you both.
It really,
it's funny every week. Somehow it tops itself every week.
Every week. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend did an episode last 2 weeks ago, I think, with American Treasure Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic, and talked about the 30th anniversary of Nirvana's In Utero, and it was a great combo. I'm always pumped when Grohl's on any show, podcast, or talk show or whatever. He's such a great guest and a fun talker. But having the three of them talk about an album that's now 30 years old, and that makes me feel. Just, and Steve Albini too, by the way, the producer of that record, just a huge seminal record, very important, obviously. And, having that be 30 years old makes me feel just horrible about everything, but lots of good conversation about the record and the making of it. I thought Conan did a really good job of asking questions about the music and the way that the album was put together, in addition to asking questions about the band and Kurt and where things were at that point and stuff. I feel like frequently when you talk about, and I totally understand it, because I fall into this trap a little bit too. It's like, I think a lot of times when you talk about Nevermind or In Utero or the band in general, you end up focusing so much on Kurt and the, you know, and his addiction and the pain that he was in at that point, and you sort of forget to talk about how great these albums are and that the technical side of that to a level that I can understand, because I'm not an audio technical person. I'm sure like for Kent, they could have gone into much greater detail on the episode about the technical side of it, and you would have loved it. For me, it probably went as close to as far as I can go with like me understanding what they're talking about, really. But yeah, I thought it did a really good job of bouncing back and forth between those things and not just settling in on how sad it was that this like kind of, I don't know, genius was the what he was going through at this time, and the way that the band was kind of falling apart a little bit, and all that stuff. So I think I've read just about every book on Nirvana and the grunge era over the years, but it's always nice to kind of revisit it, especially with sort of fresh ears or fresh eyes and stuff. And yeah, I thought Conan did a really good job with the interview, and all three of them had some really interesting stuff to say. Grohl's always the best in that situation, but it was it's a really good podcast. So Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, the Dave Grohl episode from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Albini talked a lot. I wish he didn't, but like a lot of the stuff was really insightful. So I thought an interesting part of it was just the fact that they had to go record it in the middle of nowhere because Kurt was an addict, and like the further away from city life he was, the better. So, I mean, you talk about, you know, music biopics or, you know, documentaries like Get Back. That's very high on the list of ones I would want to see. Would be the In Utero sessions, just them and the snow everywhere, and them writing that record and recording it during like his final album would be very interesting to me. But yeah, I agree. Great. Yeah. And Conan, I never would have thought Conan would do that, but that just shows you Conan is like, his interests are far beyond just comedy and comedy people. Like he is great interviewer.
That's what I was going to say. I think Conan, I probably said before, I think Conan is a really genuinely great interviewer. I think sometimes it gets lost in his goofiness and the self-deprecation and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
he really is he gets good answers from guests. He asks smart questions. And I think he makes people feel comfortable. There are other, especially in the podcast era, there's other, plenty of other podcast hosts that do that very well too. And the comfortability factor is a huge part of it. And, I like, that's great, but I love Conan's interview style. This was a really good one. I felt like.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw my recommended here because it's an easy transition. It's a rock and roll documentary. Another one. I know I do these a lot. This one's about the Wiggles.
Oh, nice.
Have you guys seen this?
No.
I can't wait to.
Did you ever know of them? Your kids into them, Brian? Anything like that?
No, Cooper wasn't. But I know what it is. I don't think I've ever seen an episode, but I kind of know the bit. But yeah, I am interested in seeing. I saw this pop up on Plex. I intend to check it out before the end of the year for sure.
It's really good. I mean, not only how successful they were, they go into that, goes into their origins. They were only like real bands before the Wiggles, and I mean, guys, this is prime for documentary now. I mean, just get a kids band with Armisen and Hayter and Forte and Mulaney or something, and do a. This, I'm telling you, I don't know whether to laugh or not because they're so into the Wiggles, the guys in the band. Like, they're like, oh, it's the hardest decision of my life. Leaving the Wiggles. It's like talking about it like they're in the Beatles or something. It's like, dude, you're singing about fruit salad on to kids, just so their kids, to parents, so their kids won't cry. I mean, that's what they're doing. It's just like very primed on like a sarcasm laced parody, which I would love to see. But check out this Wiggles doc called Hot Potato, The Story of the Wiggles. Streaming now on Amazon Prime. Richard, what you got?
Yeah, I've got a book, a memoir that came out about a month ago that I just finished during my travels. It's really good. It is Making It So by Patrick Stewart. I love Patrick Stewart. It's a great Audible, too. because he narrates it and all that, and that's one of the great voices of all time. But yeah, one of the best pop actors and theater actors and all the things that you would want, and remembered so much. It reminded me kind of a bit of the Keith Richards memoir from 10, 15 years ago, but not quite as maybe literary as that, but really, really good and a huge, long, crazy career across every different medium. So love Patrick Stewart, love the book, Making It So by Patrick Stewart.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah, great rec. I'm glad you read that ahead of me. I almost grabbed that this week. Ended up doing something different on Audible, but
grab the B Spears doc instead, or a book.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'll definitely hit that one up. I love Patrick Stewart.
All right, there you go. There's weekly recommends, some roundup of news, rumors, rumblings for you. But we've got more coming for you this week in the VIP. We're talking about a movie that's celebrating 10 years. It's the Rachel McAdams time travel movie of the week, About Time. So we'll be discussing that in the VIP. So join us over there, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. That's the best way to support our show, make sure we keep doing podcasts, and also get a little something for yourself. So check that out over there. Until next time, next week, I believe we're talking Captain Marvel? Yeah? See you at the cinema.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me yah-yah. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.